So neither sacraments, by the way, of ghost bumps or fruit checking, they don't provide any assurance of your salvation.
Pastor Chris Rosebrough, host of Fighting for the Faith, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Instead, they keep the gospel in the abstract, and they create obstacles for someone to say that Jesus died for me. They create obstacles for people to believe that Jesus has forgiven me, that Jesus loves me, that Jesus has had mercy on me.
You can listen to Pastor Rosebrough's presentation, Making the Case for the Means of Grace, on an audio DVD of the 2016 Making the Case Conference. This audio DVD contains more than 8 hours of teaching, preaching, and singing. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. It is the supreme virtue among all other virtues. And if you think about it, it makes sense. If you don't believe that there's truth, then you have to be able to tolerate anybody and everybody who believes something differently than you.
Why doesn't the devil tempt people to swear by using the word Allah? Why would he waste his time on an idol? Allah doesn't exist, but Jesus Christ does.
No one goes to hell because we were bad at evangelism. No one goes to hell because we didn't tell them about Jesus. All of the elect will be in heaven. And no one goes to heaven either because of our efforts.
This is John in Michigan, and as a Lutheran high school teacher, I love listening to and using Issues Etc. in my classroom.
It's largely an observation shaped by the very surveys that measure this thing. There's a category that's usually found in most religious surveys, none of the above, something along those lines, or simply none. What's your religious affiliation? How do you self-identify in terms of your religion? What's your religious preference, they used to ask. And if there was a category, none of the above, as there often is, that's a category that has been growing over the years. It's not a majority. It's not even a considerable minority, but it is the fastest growing category when American adults are surveyed about their religious preference or identity or self-identification or affiliation. So what is behind the impulse, the increasing impulse in some, to simply click or answer none of the above when asked about their religion? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, August the 29th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be answering that question and talking about why the nuns are leaving their religion behind. Most of them, 78% of them, say that they were raised in some kind of a religious atmosphere that they have shed and left since they became adults. Pastor Mark Wood will be our guest for the first 15 minutes of the program, talk about a new survey on why the nuns are leaving church. Then we're going to be looking at the hymn and studying the hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, with three guests, Pastor Robert Volker, Kirk Meyer, and Jonathan Mayer. We'll be talking with them about that hymn and about a new children's book based entirely on that hymn. We're going to round off everything today. Looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, looking at the cost of discipleship in Luke chapter 14. Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. Joining us to talk about a new survey on why the nuns are leaving the church, Pastor Mark Wood, Director of LCMS Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Mark, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, it's great to be on the air with you today.
As far as we can tell, Mark, what is behind the growing impulse by some to click or to answer none of the above when asked about their religion?
Well, there's a lot of different ideas about this. Part of it is some people believe it's sort of a cultural thing to do, you know, the spiritual without being religious sort of thinking that results in this. Others point to the shift in our culture away from organizations as a whole, even civic organizations, any kind of organization, to the more individualistic way of going through life. I suspect a big part of it is really due to the increase in biblical literacy, the lack of sound catechesis in our churches, where we've got people growing up in the church who don't know anything about the faith that's confessed. And when it's challenged in any way, they quickly leave it behind.
So in other words, they may not themselves know what it is they're rejecting.
True. And some of the reasons that, some examples of reasons why people are unaffiliated, it came out in this survey right at the very top is, well, I learned about evolution when I went off to college. And if that's the first time someone's encountering evolution and they haven't been catechized in the creation narrative and how it answers evolution, that says a lot about how we're preparing people to face the realities of our world today.
What else do we know about the nuns and why they have decided to unaffiliate from the church?
Other reasons that, that people cite is they see too many Christians doing unchristian things. Christianity is really viewed more as a form of moralism than it is a faith that brings the life and salvation through the forgiveness of sins. So when they see Christians behaving badly, it's an indictment of the Christian religion, and they can't separate those two things. There's, again, being exposed to worldly thinking about morality, about truth. The whole postmodern influence in our culture today causes people to question that which they're really not all that well-versed in, and it quickly falls apart for them.
But the nuns are not necessarily atheists, right?
No, they're divided into three categories, atheist, agnostic, and, well, nothing in particular is the way they categorize it. The majority of people have some sort of church background, so they don't consider themselves atheist. They would fall more into the, now I'm an agnostic, or I'm unaffiliated, I'm nothing in particular.
So let's talk about what led to this and then what remedy the church must necessarily offer. You talked about a lack of catechesis. What are you talking about specifically there?
Well, we find that the people who are active in the church in their younger years have not really been immersed into the biblical narrative so that they're able to articulate what is God's role in mankind, in human history? Who is he? How has he intersected with us? Why did he send his son into the world? What impact has that had? Much of what American Christianity has focused on is moralism and a religious form of moralism rather than understanding what religion truly is. In fact, the word religion is eschewed by many people, saying, I'm okay with Jesus, I just don't want anything to do with his religion, and they don't understand what religion is. So when people are growing up, when they're growing up in a system that really isn't bringing them God's word in a coherent, systematic, and in-depth way, as soon as it's challenged by anything, whether it's just a cultural shift, something they're encountering in college, something they encounter because they're entering into relationships with people outside of the church, they're not able to give a defense for the hope that's within them. In fact, they really don't understand the hope that's within them. And they're swayed very readily by these other ways of thinking.
This is really a different phenomenon than has been observed by the church for decades and decades, and that is young people generally tend, when they reach their early adult years, generally tend to stray, if only for a time, from regular church attendance.
Right. The trend seems to be that strain is much more prolonged. Time will tell whether they do return to the church, later in life than preceding generations. But my concern is that many of these people who stray away are straying away at such an early age, and with such a weak foundation that there will be no returning. And we're now seeing a generation that's being raised with no experience in the church. And you can't return to something that you've never been to in the first place. So I think we're going to see this trend continuing as we see the effects of the first wave of nuns impacting a next generation of people who have no affiliation.
What can the local congregation, local pastor, what can he do to prevent this in his own congregation, or at least to mitigate it to some degree?
In the first place, we have the opportunity for those people who are gathered to make sure they're well catechized and really truly understand the faith, and are able to articulate it, and able to defend it against the whatever whims of the culture happen to be current. I think in the second place is we thoroughly equip people to be able to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, so that those who are able to articulate the faith as witnesses of Christ are going to be themselves better prepared to answer the challenges of that faith in their own lives.
Would it be wise for pastors, congregation, Christian parents to kind of prime the pump a little bit? Because as they leave home to go off to college or university or get into the adult world in some other way, we can kind of foresee the kind of challenges that they will face. To say to them, look, right now you might not run in the social circle or the educational circle that challenges you, but let me give you a taste of what's out there for you.
Precisely. Yeah, we know the threat, and we should mitigate it as quickly as we can in a person's life. So I know with Pastor Mark Azil, who heads up our LCMS campus ministry program, one of his initiatives is to prepare Lutheran high school students who will soon be going off to college for the realities of the faith. So rather than wait for them to get to college and be exposed to this and have it come as a shock and surprise, prepare them ahead of time so that they know what they're going to go up against. And what they're going up against is rather daunting. And when I say, the catechesis is the answer, it's not simply the catechetical instruction that leads to confirmation. It's the whole life of a believer immersed in the study of God's Word in the church, in the church setting, but especially in the home. This is so important for our young people to be growing up in homes where we can talk about the day's events in the light of Scripture, in the light of our Lutheran confessions.
Now, I guess what I'm wondering here is what we don't want to do is create undue doubt. How do we, while we are preparing them to face the challenge, also bolster, you said, the hope that is in you? It strikes me that a lot of kids do attend churches where the substance of what they're hearing is pretty flimsy, pretty light. What are your thoughts there?
Well, that certainly is a problem if that's the case. If you don't understand the hope that's within you, if you don't even recognize the need for a hope to be within you, you're going to be very poorly equipped to deal with the threats against that hope. And so, if we avoid going into these issues in the church because we don't want to offend, or we feel they're too challenging for people, sooner or later, and I'm afraid it's more and more sooner, they're going to encounter them and are going to be ill-equipped to deal with them. So better that we do it in the church and take on the challenge of preparing people for engaging the world around them than to kind of push it off because it's uncomfortable or comes across as too challenging for people in the church, and then see the disastrous results when they do encounter it.
Then with about 30 seconds, Mark, here, what kind of comfort would you offer a parent who says, in high school they were youth group kids and they went to church with us, and now that they're a young adult, they're one of those nuns? About 30 seconds.
Well, my encouragement would be, the foundation's been laid. God's Word always accomplishes what He purposes for it. We can always find comfort in the fact that our children are baptized, raised in the faith, and bring that word to them. Say, I know the world's throwing a lot at you. I know that world wants you to think of yourself according to some other identity, but this is who you are. You're a baptized child of Christ. Don't forget that. And as parents, continue to pray for our children, seek opportunities to reinforce that identity that they already have in Christ, and when and where we can, encourage them with God's Word.
Pastor Mark Wood is Director of LCMS Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You can find out more about their efforts at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Mark, thank you very much for being our guest.
Absolutely. Enjoyed the time.
And speaking of baptism, as Pastor Wood just mentioned, when we come back from this break, we're going to be looking at a baptismal hymn. For many people, it's the baptismal hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. Pastor Robert Vogel will join us along with Pastor Kirk Meyer and Jonathan Mayer. We're going to be studying that hymn and talking about a children's book based on it. Stay tuned. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spot.
Luther says, from the fact that prayer is so urgently commanded, you ought to conclude that we should by no means despise our prayers, but rather praise them highly.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
This is an act of obedience, he says. On this I rely and depend and revere it highly because of the commandment. But he also says, God has made and affirmed a promise with the Lord's Prayer that what we pray is certain and a sure thing. All that stuff that you don't want, that the Spirit compels you to pray for when you pray the Lord's Prayer, is a sure thing to be answered true, concluding on the last day, of course, but already present through faith alone in Christ.
You can listen to Pastor Fisk's presentation, Making the Case for the Lord's Prayer, in an audio DVD from the 2016 Making the Case Conference for a donation of $300. We'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.